Welcome to another inspirational message from the traditional service at Bethany Assembly of God in Agawam, Massachusetts. It's our prayer that this message from Pastor Richard Adams will encourage and bless you.
For such a time as this, I have called a people who know my name. For I have called them that they might experience the power of my word as I speak through them by my spirit. Be not afraid to open your heart. Be not afraid to speak my word. Be not afraid, for I am with you. So you who are timid, be bold. Be bold. For you who are depressed, arise. And you who are injured, be healed. For I am the Lord your God. You are called by my name. Be strong. Be courageous. For I will never leave you nor forsake you, saith the Lord. Let's thank him. Thank you, James. Thank you. Hallelujah. 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 You don't want to miss tonight. I guarantee you the Holy Spirit will continue to minister to you through the worship, because God speaks to us in worship like no other place. He teaches us in worship. You don't want to miss Saturday night. Dr. Lee and Lisa, Deep Love Simulcast, they are absolutely excellent. Excellent. You don't want to miss it. And if you have a moment after this second service, you'll want to go to the gymnasium, because we're having book signing with many of our authors from Bethany. I think we have maybe five or six people that will be signing books that they have written. And I hope that it would inspire you to become active. If you're a writer, if you're a songwriter, if you're whatever kind of writer, that you would start putting those things down and start using them. And look what God gave to James when he was 13 years old. It's awesome, James. It's awesome. Awesome. Acts chapter 2, verse 17 and 18, famous Pentecostal words. In the last days, God says, I'll pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I believe it, and I think many of you believe that we're living in the last days. We know that Jesus is coming soon. Can I hear an amen to that? One of the signs of his coming, Pastor Stephen has been preaching about the gifts and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And I believe that the return of the prophetic is one of the signs. There's going to be a warring spirit. We recognize the fact that the spirit of Elijah will come back, and there will be a warring spirit that will take place, because we're in a battle. How many of you know we are in a spiritual battle? There's also going to be an onslaught of the spirit of Jezebel, who actually will come in to try to destroy the work of the prophetic. But I believe that in this battle, the Holy Spirit is going to rise up. Jesus gave us many different ministries, many different gifts, and they're still operating today. We all recognize that. He did this because he recognized that we're all going to be in this spiritual battle. There's going to be a great darkness that will try to engulf the light, but it cannot win. And God will not allow it to win. And he's not going to leave us as an orphan. So he gave us the Spirit to rise within us, to cause us to become more than we could be in our own self. And all these gifts and ministries are going to assist us. And we know there's pastors, teachers, evangelists, prophets, apostles, all of these. And today we put a lot of emphasis on the pastoral role. We put much emphasis on it. And the pastor really becomes almost like an administrator who leads through a servanthood. He has the ability to be a servant to people. That's the whole purpose of a pastor. When he becomes more than a servant, he loses some of his real ability to minister, because how many know Jesus was a servant? And so a pastor needs to be a servant. And in the Bible, we find that the prophetic ministry is to bring a message to the people. And often we find in the Old Testament that the prophets came and they gave a message to the king. And the king was the one who was the administrator of the community, and he brought about this message, and the prophet would give it to the king, and then the king would carry it out. And the prophet simply came, gave the message to the king. It was up to the king to do with it what the God would help him to do. Now, that's what I recommend to prophets today. Sometimes you get a prophet that'll come and they'll bring a message to the people, which is perfectly fine. But when they try to implement the message themselves, when they try to force the message themselves, it doesn't work. He has to bring it and then bring it to basically the pastor. He brings a message to the pastor, to the people. And then the pastor, as the Holy Spirit helps him with timing and everything, brings it to pass. And if the prophet tries to do it on his own, he's just going to be frustrated and he's going to be getting in a lot of difficulty. So there's ministries the way they work. And we often emphasize the role of the pastor more, but I want you to know in the end of time, we're going to see more and more of the prophetic that's going to be working through the people. Can I hear an amen to that? Now, I could go into all the different attitudes and aspects of pastoral role because it changes as the congregation changes. Differences in numbers from 50 to 100 people, the pastor's role is different than when the church is as large as this one. So the pastor's role changes, but there's teachers also, and we emphasize teachers, and we have so many terrific teachers at Bethany Assembly. We have terrific people here, and we emphasize our Sunday's programs, our Sunday school programs, our Bible studies. We have gifted teachers here at Bethany. We have a plethora of gifts that are operating in, especially in the realm of teachers. But there's evangelists also. Evangelists, they function to reach the lost. And Timothy makes the word, as Paul helps Timothy to understand, that every pastor is called to be an evangelist, to try to reach out, but not every evangelist is called to be a pastor. So an evangelist has a particular place of ministry. And I don't really have a whole lot of time. I'd like to go into more of this, but I want to talk a little bit about the pastors, not the pastors, but the prophet's role, because I think that it's very clear that those of us that are Pentecostal recognize that there's going to be an outpouring. Sons and your daughters are going to prophesy, and we're going to see more of the speaking of God's word through the congregation as the prophetic begins to flow through their life. Now, our faith really depends upon the role of the prophet and the apostle, because in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 20, it says, we're built on the foundation of apostles and prophets. Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. Now, of course, we recognize that the Old Testament was written by prophets. So there's the foundation. And the New Testament was written by apostles. So there's the foundation. The church's foundation was built upon the apostles and the prophets. And the apostle John wrote in Revelation chapter 19 and verse 10, I am a fellow servant with you and with your brothers who hold the testimony of Jesus. So do you testify that Jesus is Lord today? Would you testify that Jesus is Lord? We would testify that. So then he goes on and he says, well, okay, worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. The testimony of Jesus is mentioned several times, and it always is connected with the word of God and obedience. That's the testimony of Jesus. He was the living word of God. He spoke the word of God, and yet he was the only one that truly lived the obedient life. So it's always connected with the word of God and obedience. And anyone who has this testimony, Jesus, if they have that testimony, then they have the same testimony. They believe the word of God and they have an obedience to the Spirit. This is the very spirit of prophecy, is what he says. So we must always remember that the gifts of the Holy Spirit are as big as God is. In other words, there are a multitude of gifts that God has given to his church, and we'll never, ever be able to understand all of them. We'll never be able to understand all there is to know about the ministry gifts, because we can't understand everything there is about God. He's big. So the gifts are just amazing. But we are called to trust and obey. Trust and obey. As a husband, the Bible tells you that you're to love your wife. Never does the Bible tell you that you're going to understand her. That's true. Never. You'll never be able to understand her, but you can still love her. There's the key, loving her. Jesus said that the church is going to be without spot or wrinkle. The church is full of spots, full of wrinkles. God says he's going to be the one who's going to judge the church. He's going to begin by judging the church. And if the church is judged, then what's going to happen to the world? But before God can judge the world, he judges the church. And today, if God judges the church, he uses a prophetic word. He speaks through us through a prophet. And that passes a judgment upon the church. Some people think that prophets only operate in a church service. They think it only is when you come on Sunday or Wednesday. And that prophet has to say, thus saith the Lord. Otherwise, it's not a prophet. They think that's the only time the prophet works. How many know that's not the truth? Can you be a teacher at any time? The answer to that, of course, is yes. You can teach someone anywhere at any time. You could actually be a pastor anywhere at any time. You can be an evangelist anywhere at any time. So shouldn't you also be able to speak as a prophet anytime, anywhere, to anyone? Joel chapter 2 and verse 28 says, in those days, what days are Joel talking about? What days when he says in those days? He's talking about the last days. And we know we're living in these last days. He says, I'm going to pour out my spirit on all flesh. You see, in the Old Testament, we find that when the priests failed and the judges failed and the kings failed, the temples failed and the armies failed, God called a man or he called a woman and he raised up a prophet. That was God's plan. He had one method. One way of redemption was through the prophetic work of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was a prophet himself. He used prophets and he used prophetesses. And in these days, God is raising up people who will speak the word of the Lord, who have a freedom in their heart. Because when all the Pentecostal athletics and the charismatic gymnasts, if all these things fail, when the choir which sings beautifully, when worship is grand, when everything's going great, but we find that God isn't manifesting his presence, when we can't sense his presence, I know he's here, but when he's not making himself known, that's when we need the prophetic ministry. We need God to speak to our hearts. I've told you before, and I believe it today, sometimes we are producing pulpiteers, not prophets. Our Bible schools help people to learn how to entertain. They do many things, but in the last days, the church, according to Scripture, is going to try to entertain people. The church is going to be focused on entertaining people. That's when God's going to raise up the prophetic to shake us. To shake us. You see, there's only one way to please God: faith and trust and obedience. When you obediently begin to exercise your spiritual gifts, when you and I recognize we're left on this earth for a purpose to fulfill the gifts that we've been given, to speak them prophetically as the oracles of God, to shake the spirits of men who are lost and dying. The prophetic ministry comes for that purpose. When everything fails and the church has tried everything, God raises up prophets. In the last days, your sons, your daughters will prophesy. You see, between the Old Testament and the New Testament, 400 years, there was no record at all of God speaking to his people. For 400 years, Then he raises up John the Baptist. He ministers in the wilderness, not in the temple, but in the wilderness. Not just in the building, but in the wilderness. He didn't go to Bible school. He could have went to Bible school. Not necessary for you to go to Bible school to speak the word of the Lord prophetically. John the Baptist didn't go to Bible school. He could have been a Bible school student. He had a full scholarship. His father was a priest. So he had a full scholarship, a full ride. He could have went if he wanted to. But prophets usually don't come from Bible schools. When they're in the church, oftentimes they're forced out of the church. There's a cost to everything in your life. There is a cost for us to be a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, to have a humble heart, but also to have the boldness of the Spirit of God that is within us. There's a price to be paid. The last scripture in the Old Testament speaks of Elijah turning the hearts of the people. In Malachi chapter 4, verses 4 through 6, remember the law of my servant Moses. Remember, he was a great prophet. The decrees and the laws I gave him at Horeb for all of Israel. See, I will send you the prophet Elijah before that great and dreadful day of the Lord. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers, or else I'll come and strike the land with a curse. Over 4,000 years of God speaking to his people summed up in this last book in Malachi. Sums it up, God says here. He says, remember the laws of Moses. Be obedient to the word of God, because you know every sin, every disobedience is going to be judged. You're either going to turn to God or you're going to be destroyed. That's the Old Testament law. You do this and you shall live. You do this and you shall die. But wonderfully, when you go to the end of the New Testament, the last scripture in Revelations chapter 22 and 21, it says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with God's people. Amen. Hallelujah! The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ pardons sin. It's a gift. It's a grace. It's love. The Old Testament and New Testament is a perfect picture of God. God is not just holy, he is also merciful. So the church and the world is not destroyed. You see, God is going to send this prophetic ministry. And by that I mean you are going to receive boldness in your heart to speak the word of God. Amen. And to see the power that is found in his word, to turn the hearts of men and women. It's all about the hearts. And because you speak with this boldness and passion in your heart, you'll see men and women's hearts turn towards God. The spirit of Elijah returns so that the hearts of men and women will be turned back to God. Because how many of you know God holds everything together? This world without God, no matter what the world says, without God, this world would have fallen apart long time ago. My favorite thing is about flying helicopters was a UH-1, and I told you this story many times, but the nut on the very top of the assembly that holds the rotor blade together, it is wired in there, but it's one nut, and in the military handbook, in the actual terminology of this nut, it is called the Jesus nut. Honestly, because if that nut comes loose, the whole assembly falls off and the rotor blade goes up, and all you can say is Jesus. It's amazing how God holds everything together. You see, and today we find fathers that are ashamed of their children and children that are ashamed of their fathers, but they will all be restored. God will bring them back together. You see, God never hides anything from his prophets. He didn't hide anything from Abraham. Everything God planned to do, he told Abraham. And so Sodom and Gomorrah, he told Abraham, and Abraham was able to go in and to save his nephew. God didn't hide his plans from Moses. God's desire is that all people will become seers, that they'll be able to understand what God is doing in the hearts of men and women so that they can speak directly into their lives. God's desire is that all people will become understanders of his purposes and his plans. In Amos chapter 3 and verse 7, surely the sovereign Lord does nothing without revealing his plan to his servants, the prophets. God's desire, his plan, has always been to pour out his spirit. That has always been God's plan, so that people would understand his purposes. Because the common mind is not subject unto the law of God. Neither indeed can it be. But it's only through the power of the Spirit, as the Spirit is restored into the man of heart, that he can understand the very things of God. Moses had this very desire. Paul had this same desire. Paul said he coveted all of the gifts, but especially covet the gift of prophecy, because prophecy shakes a person's heart. Prophecy is a word spoken through the oracle of the Lord as he gives you this word to speak. And I'm not just talking about foretelling. I'm talking about just being able to speak to the heart of men. And all of us who have the Spirit within us can prophesy. We can all do it. Paul says you can all do it. Do it orderly. Doesn't mean you have to do it in the church service, but you can do it wherever you go, even on the job. In the same way that you can lay hands on the sick, you can also prophesy. Same way you can evangelize and teach, you can also prophesy. Because the prophet is able to see what God is doing. That's the thing. He's called the seer. He can see what God is doing in the world today. You can understand what God is doing in the heart today. And you can speak into people's hearts. Jesus could see what God was doing. And he laid hands on people. When he saw what God was doing in their hearts, he touched them somehow through a word, through a laying on of hands. Today, when we have people come to the altar as ministers of the gospel, we get in a lot of trouble if we don't lay hands on everybody. If I don't lay hands on everybody, or the pastor, you come up and he doesn't love me. He didn't lay hands on me. He didn't pray for me, went right by me. Jesus didn't lay hands on everybody. You see, the prophet is able to see what God is doing at that moment in that person's heart. So he can go by this person because God's working in their life, but they're not quite ready yet. God's doing something. But in this person, he can see this person's ready to receive what God has for them at this moment. He lay hands on them, and he can go by and he just touches people as he sees what God is doing in their life. So never get upset over an evangelist or anyone who comes and he prays for people and passes you by. You just say, okay, Lord, next time it's my turn. I'm ready. And maybe he'll come right back to you when you say that. But to be open for it, because Jesus could see what God was doing. And Jesus knew that God wasn't working in everyone's life in the same way. But he could see when God was doing something in their life. And we can prophesy what we see. I want to emphasize that. You have to see it. You're called a seer. You can prophesy what you see. But the first thing that's most important is we have to decide to see. You have to make a decision. I am a spirit-filled person. I have the Spirit of God in my life. Lord, I want to see what you're doing. We have to make a decision to actually see. We must have this desire. We must say, Lord, show me, and he will. And don't be afraid to say what you see. At first, it may be fuzzy, but as you continually minister, it becomes clearer. And keep ministering, and God will continue to reveal it to you, and your prophecy will build up people and gently correct them and get them back on this road to God, and he'll pull their hearts more towards God. Abraham prophesied on his deathbed. So did Isaac. So did Jacob. But you have to make a decision to see the needs of the people, to see the needs in the world today. The eye of the prophet becomes extremely important for us. Decision to see what God is doing. See, this church is really very important for this community that we live in. This is a very solid Pentecostal church with people who have a desire to see. But you must continually keep that decision. In 2 Kings chapter 2, Elijah told Elisha, he says, you can have a double portion of my spirit. If you see me when I am taken up from you, it will be yours. Otherwise, not. You have to see. Where does a prophet come from? How do you make a prophet? Again, usually prophets don't come from Bible schools. Prophets are trained one by one. The Bible tells us that Elisha poured water on Elijah's hands. He became a servant. He cooked for him, cleaned for him, washed for him. Maybe that's why we have more prophetesses than prophets, because they have this servanthood in their life. He followed Elijah. He had only one goal. He says, I want what you have. And he followed him everywhere he went. Elijah asked Elisha, he says, what do you want? He knew what he wanted, but Elisha still had to ask. He says, you have not because you ask not. I wish everyone in this house would ask for eyes to see. See what God is doing in the lives of people all around you. See what God is doing this very moment in your relatives, your family, and be able to speak into their hearts. Elisha had to ask. And Elijah told him as he was leaving. You see, Elijah was a very interesting prophet. He had his own Uber service. He could call at any moment and he'd be translated somewhere else. Hello, poof, gone. You know, that's why they gave him so much trouble. You know, go up, old bald head. Go up, old bald head, because Elisha eventually got like Elijah, and boom, boom, you could just go anywhere you wanted to go. Nice deal. No more standing in airlines lines waiting for to see where you're going to sit. Boom, gone. So Elijah told him, he says, I'm leaving. And Ahab would have spies everywhere trying to find out where Elijah was going. He was taking away in the spirit all the time. It was a joke in Israel. No one knew where Elijah came from. He lived in the presence of God. And Elisha asks for a portion of this spirit. And Elijah says, okay, if you can see. If you can see, if you're looking into the spirit world, if you're open to what the Holy Spirit is doing in your life, if you recognize your flesh, but you want to walk in the spirit, if you can just see, he says, when I'm taken up, it'll happen to you. You have to prepare yourself to see what God is doing. See, I tell you because God promises that he's going to pour out his spirit in the last days. Upon all flesh, but there must be a willingness on our heart to see, to open our hearts and our minds to see what God is doing. Because until you see the need that's around you, until you can see the harvest that is there, until you can see that the Spirit is moving, you have to have a vision or nothing will happen. The prophet has to have a desire to see. That's why the eye of the prophet is so important. God wants this to be a church filled with those that have the fullness of the Spirit in such a manner that we are able to see what the world cannot see. We see the marvelous things that God is doing. While the world sees all the evil, we see the work of the Lord. Amen. So, Father, we pray today that the Spirit of God will open our hearts as we go forth. This word for us is not a word just for a Sunday morning. It is a word for us as we walk the streets, as we walk the Big E, as we walk in work, as we walk at the stores, that our eyes would be open, that you would give us spiritual insight, that we would be able to see what the Lord is doing. And then we would have the boldness to speak a word towards the heart of men so that the name of Jesus can be glorified. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. Now you're here this morning, and this word really was for the congregation who have the Spirit of Christ within them. Perhaps maybe you have never asked Jesus to come into your heart. You've watched testimonies of people who have rededicated their life. They've come to Christ, and Jesus has changed their life, so much so that they followed him in this first act of obedience called baptism. If you're here this morning, but you know you need Jesus, would you be man or woman enough to raise your hand and say, Pastor, pray for me? Is there anyone like that in the congregation? Main floor, balcony, anybody here? Thank you for those two hands back in the corner. Anybody else? Anybody else? Let's pray this prayer, and you pray this prayer with us as we pray it. Lord Jesus, I open my heart. I truly understand that you took my place, died for my sins. So today, I confess you as my Savior. I believe in my heart that you are God, that you died for me, and I thank you, Lord. And I ask you to come into my life, to wash away my sin, to cleanse me and make me new. Give me eyes now to see, ears to hear you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, we have a book we want to give you. It's called Following Christ. If you'll just make your way here to the front, we'll make sure you get that book. If you're a first-time guest, would you please meet some of our pastors and staff? To my left, it's to your right, and there's a welcome center. We'd like to meet you. Please come out tonight. You won't want to miss the worship with James Huey. And it's so good to have us here, even on a Big E day, to have a good crowd. So may the Lord bless you. May the traffic be always flowing. And may the Lord be blessed in your life. Amen. God bless you.
We hope you were inspired by this message from God's Word. If you were, would you take a moment to rate and review this podcast? That will help us better be able to reach more people with this important message. For more information about Bethany Assembly of God or how to have a relationship with God, visit www.bethany-ag.org. They want the beat to drop, but what we really need is you. If you want to steal my show, I'll sit back and watch you go. If you got something to say, go on and take it away. Need you to steal my show. Can't wait to watch you. Tonight, and to
Every day we can choose to say.